Aren't you glad that your sins have been paid in full? I'm glad there's not a little portion we still yet owe on. I owe on a few things in this life, and I just assume they'd be paid off. But I'm glad that my sin debt's been paid in full, and I don't have to worry about that. But if you're saved by God's grace, you are paid in full. Is Brother James here tonight? James Molico in the house? I'm looking around, don't see him. It's hard to see amongst so many people, though. For those that don't know, Brother James came back in on Sunday. He sat through the services the last few weeks, and he and his girlfriend have been coming. Got four beautiful kids. Some of you seen them. Sat right behind you, Brother Tim. Anyway, that boy was under some heavy conviction on Sunday, and whenever most of you vacated the premises, Brother James slipped back in, just said he needed to talk to me. And whenever he come back in, he gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ right here. So I praise the Lord for that. I was hopeful that he would be here because he's already been sending me messages saying that he wants to be baptized and follow up his salvation experience in believer's baptism. So I trust that he's going to tell you what happened whenever he can be here. I'm not sure if he's working or what's going on. But anyway, thank the Lord. That was orchestrated not just by Brother Chris, not just by this or that. It was orchestrated by the Lord. And everybody that you use the altar on Sunday, you that use the altar that come up here and prayed for this need or that need, there's no doubt in my mind, a lost person watching that, they're looking and saying, well, they just went up there. And in their mind, they're probably thinking they probably just got some help for whatever it is that they've got a need for. And by doing that, they got to think, a lost person got to think in their mind, if there's help for those, there's help for me. And he come back in here. I made the statement in leaving that I would be around for a while. And I said, I've had people saved in my office. You remember that? I said, I've had people saved in here, in my office, in the side room, in that little room. And he come back in after everybody else had gone and said, you just want to be saved. So I thank the Lord for that. I got a card I'm going to read tonight. This is, it says, God is at home in a loving heart, and he lives inside of you. And this is from the van ministry workers. Brother Robbie gave me this a little while ago. It says, thank you, church, for the kindness and thoughtfulness, the money that you provided for the van ministry children. They purchased clothes and toys and other necessities for them. So in doing so, you show the love of Christ, and the kids will be forever grateful. Thank you all for all the people that shopped, gift-wrapped, and delivered the gifts. So with love in Christ, Brother Robbie, we support you in that work. And pray that the Lord will ever bless y'all. There's going to be kids that won't have to die and go to hell because somebody had the love of Christ in their heart. And thanks to you that let them sit with you on Sundays. Brother Robbie and Miss Tammy can't let 30 kids sit with them. And now you're starting to see them. They're up here. They're over here. They're back there. So thank you for investing in those kids. There's a whole bunch of them right there at the very precipice of getting saved. And I even had one. I was sitting right where Preston was at. And he come up, and I won't give you the little fella's name. He's 8 years old, and he started asking me about the Book of Life. And we talked to him just a little while. But they're asking questions, Robbie. They're listening, and they're learning. And it's just going to be a short time. They're going to be a whole bunch of them get saved. So I'm looking forward to that. If you've got a copy of God's Word tonight, the 85th division of the Book of Psalms tonight, Psalm 85. I'm going to preach a little bit tonight on a call for revival. Anybody here need revival? Amen, I do. If you don't need one, then thank God. Pray for us that do. We did not have one in the fall. The Lord just didn't kind of lead that way. We've had other events throughout the year, but we didn't have a regular fall revival. But here we are now, Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, January the 6th, we'll enter into a series of meetings. There'll be four meetings, and we will call that a winter revival. Now, whether or not you have one, Dean, that's up to you. It ain't up to me. It's up to you. If you want, you can get. Bible says if you'll knock, it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. And ask and it shall be given unto you. So if you want a revival, I truly believe if you'll do the three ingredients found in the book of Revelation chapter number 2, verses 4 or 5, down through there where it says, remember, return, and repent. Remember from where you left your first love. Return to that. Repent of your sins. And then he can stir you up. And I appreciate those of you that's faithful to support the revival. And I trust that you're going to hear this message tonight as just that, a call for revival. Tim, I need one. I need to be stirred up. I need a stirring way down in my soul. Y'all pray for Brother Clayton. And if you didn't know, his new wife, If you didn't know, Clayton got married. He did. He got married yesterday. And he and his new bride, Miss Marsha, are on their honeymoon. So y'all pray for Brother Clayton. Thank God for my deacons. And Brother Clayton has been a staunch supporter of this church for many, many, many years. He loves his pastor, and he is a dear friend of mine. Inside the church, outside the church, he's been a great support to me as his pastor. So let's pray for Brother Clayton as he begins his new journey with his new wife. Also, we've got one this evening that's really close to home tonight, and that's April Fall's mother, Miss Linda. You pray for her. I don't know. It might be today. It might be a week from now. Only the Lord knows. She could pull out of this and be here another 6 months. And if Miss Frieda Yancey was here tonight, she'd tell you that. They took Frieda off the ventilator and said she's going to last about 2 minutes. And next thing I know, it was 2 hours and 2 weeks. And then I don't know how many years it's been now, probably 8 or 10 years. But she remarried after that, and Miss Frieda, you know, thank the Lord for the doctors don't know. I mean, they know medicine, but the same ones that'll say that's going to be 3 minutes, you go back for the next time, and whatever the blockage was, they don't see the blockage anymore. The little nodule's gone. The tumor's gone. Like Johnny Ward one time went, or Johnny Calloway, or one of the Ward boys down there, one of the Johnnies that they shaved his chest and everything, and went in, and they're going to do open heart surgery, and they're going to map out exactly where they were doing it. And they come back in scratching their head and say, we don't know what happened, but your heart grew an artery around the blockage. And hearts don't do that, but his did. But anyway, during the meantime, he was anointed with oil, and they prayed over him and laid hands on him. And that's what was the difference. You know, I believe God touched him. So I saw my Uncle Don Hayes fall out flat face first in the pulpit at Charity Hill Baptist Church from a brain aneurysm. And when he got down there, Brother Steve, the doctor that opened up the top of his cranium and took that head off, looked in there and said it was just like two fingers had pinched off each one of them where the aneurysm had burst itself out. Said it was like something had just squeezed off both sides of it. And the part that blew out was still not leaking anymore. But he had a brain aneurysm right in the front of his head. And it just sealed it right off. Tell me God ain't real. God is good. Anyway, we'll stand. Let's read that whole chapter tonight. The 85th division of Psalm, chapter number 85. Probably do a little teaching tonight. That'd be all right if I just do a little teaching. Y'all believe that, don't you? Yeah, we'll see how that works out. The Bible says in the 85th division of Psalm in verse number 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. In reading that tonight, our revival service can start tonight. If it doesn't start tonight and it doesn't start with me, let it start tonight and start with you. And if it doesn't begin in you tonight, then come Sunday morning. I'm not waiting till Sunday evening when the visiting evangelist or visiting pastor, Brother Matthew Higgins, the pastor of Round Hill Baptist Church, I'm not waiting for him to come over here. Brother John, if you'll come up here and kind of purview this pulpit and look around, there are no buttons up here. I don't have a switch under here that we can flip that would cause us to have revival. I think a lot of times we wait for the visiting preacher to get excited. Brother Tim, I like to see your tears myself. I like to see that. Don't you think that your pastor wants to see your heart once in a while? I mean, a lot of times a visitor preacher come through here and he'll preach the same thing I've been preaching for the last 2 months, 3 months. And bless God, it just breaks people's hearts and they get in the altar and weep and cry and pray and shout and run. And then I'm sitting here wondering, what did I do? Did I do something? Listen, it ain't about me. It's all about God. But I like to see your tears. I like to see you get excited. So don't wait for a visiting preacher. Because if you do that, that means about two times a year, Melissa, we're going to get excited because that's about how many revivals we have. If you're only going to wait for the revival to get excited, you're only going to wait for the revival to get your wood kindled up again, you're going to be pretty miserable. I want you to be excited 24/7. I want you to go to bed excited with a prayer on your lips, a prayer in your heart, praying for somebody. Pray for me if you can't pray for nobody else. You don't know anybody to pray for, pray for me. I need your prayers and you need the practice, so just do it. But this is a call to revival. Brother Troy asked God to bless us. Amen. This is a psalm of Asaph. Israel has been just basically a disgrace before the whole world. You'll read some of those writings about that their skirt was against around their ankles and that their girdle was marred and that they were just a shame and a reproach upon God. And this psalm tonight is a psalm of Asaph. And if you were look at that and you were thinking then that if Israel was such a disgrace in the very nostrils of Almighty God, and it was, God would let them go into captivity. He would deliver them and then they would go back into bondage again and God would set them free. Brother John, it was a cycle that kept repeating. If they had a good godly leader, he might bring them out for a while. But then one of their sons would raise up and do wicked, which was in the sight of God. And then they'd go right back into a depraved condition again. But anyway, as it is tonight, how much worse off are we today? We've sanctioned through the ability of modern medicine, Brother John. They didn't have the ability that we got today. Like I said, to take the top of your head off and fix something in there. But modern medicine as it is has become so convenient for people to commit the abominable. I mean, through abortions. Miss Cindy read a stat to me just the other day. And she said above car wrecks, above heart attacks, above cancer, above all these diseases. I couldn't believe it. Because there's a lot of people that die by gunshots and drownings and airplane crashes and car crashes and heart attacks. And Brother John, the list goes on. She said, did you realize it in the world that this past year, the number one cause of death was abortion? And that just blew my mind. I think it was like 40 million people worldwide. And I'm telling countless of those probably happened right in the shadow of a church somewhere. Man, the church has gone to sleep on God. And it makes me wonder if that national disgrace, which was Israel, Brother Chris, that would cause God to have a reproach against the people, the reproach of being so denigrated against God. Brother Larry, how much are we that today? We sit around silent and do nothing. My goodness, folks, we were to start praying that God would shut down these abortion clinics, that God would raise up a voting block that would put in good leaders, that would appoint good justices, that would finally do away with this Holocaust that it is, because that's exactly what it is. It's a blight on humanity. I can't help that if God doesn't come back 500 years from now, they're going to look back to that dark age period of the 1900s into the early 2000s and think what a blight on humanity that was. I mean, there were teachers and doctors and preachers. I mean, scientists that might have found cures for disease. And they just took them straight from the mother's womb and aborted them. And it's a disgrace. But here we are in Israel's in the sight of God. Israel has been a disgrace. And we open up in the first three verses. You'll see a call to remembrance. Because when it says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy lamb. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. And thou hast covered their sin. Thou hast taken away thy wrath. Let me tell you, if God was faithful to them, then God will be faithful to us. And he was faithful to them because you can see it right there. This is in a past tense. This is a call to remembrance because look what it said. Thou hast. And when you see that word hast, it means you have been. And God, you have been faithful to them. You have forgiven them. You have been this to them. You have been that to them. But even as God was faithful unto them, if he's no respecter person, and according to the book of Romans, he is no respecter of person, then bless God, he'll do the same thing for us, will he not? You would think he would. If he said he would, he would. There's Malachi 3, and I believe it's 3 and 6. I'll have to flip over there and find it, lest I quote that wrong. Does that not say, Brother Chris, that he's God and he changes not? Am I out of kilter on that verse? Let's just find it. Chapter number 3 and verse number 6, it said, No, it's not number six. Somebody find that verse for me. Maybe it is six. I'm in the book of Malachi. Somewhere in there, he said, I am the Lord and I change not. I think I might have written it down somewhere, but it's not before me now. What did I say? Oh, it is 3:6. I'm in the book of Nahum. Maybe I need to go to Malachi. Malachi 3:6. Y'all get up here. Y'all are laughing. For I am the Lord, I change not. So if he's not changed and he said he would do for Israel, and then that must mean that he would do for us, would he not? So the first thing that you see in verses number 1-3 is a call to remembrance. And that call to remembrance is about how God is faithful in his past dealings of men. And if God is faithful in his past dealings with men, then Brother Chris, I can promise you this, God will be just in his dealings with us today. I think that a lot of time, and have y'all ever seen this, Brother Gary? Everybody here has got some type of a social media platform, be it Twitter or MySpace, MyFace, Facebook, whatever it is. You've probably seen these little memes, don't you judge people, or you'll see these things, judge not lest you be judged. Have you ever seen that? I've seen them here a lot lately that says God is my judge. And I see that, and Brother Gary, there's never been a more true statement. And I wonder if those people, what they're saying is, Lord, don't judge me. What they're saying, Jake, is we shouldn't judge them. The Bible teaches me to judge righteous judgment. And if this book settles it, says it, that settles it. I'm not judging you. God's already judged it. He's pronounced a judgment against it, and all I'm doing is preaching his word. And if all I'm doing is preaching his word, I'm not judging you. The word of God is just being called to your remembrance and reflecting upon that, and that's the way that it is. But I wonder about those people sometimes, Brother Larry, that would say, God's my judge. I wonder if they really reflect on what that means. God is my judge, and he is your judge, and he will be your judge when you stand before him. But if God was faithful to them, and whenever it says that he has pardoned them or he has forgiven them, as it says in verse number 2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of the people, thou hast covered their sin. If he has done that in the past, will he not do that in the future? That, my friends, will cause us to have revival. So we need a true call to revival. To do that, we have to have a remembrance of how faithful God is. God was faithful to them in the past, and he will be faithful to us in the future. If there is a future in our lives, God's going to be there. If he's ever you've ever acknowledged him in your past, he's still in your present. Brother Larry, you got saved by God's grace. I don't care if you got saved. When did you get saved? 89, 90, 91, 81, 51? When did you get saved? Spit it out. Are you saved? Let's get that nailed down. Are you saved? Are you sure? Swing over hell on a rotten rope, singing Amazing Grace. Are you saved? What year? Oh, my goodness. I'm not asking you, Chris. 99. If Brother Scott was here tonight, we'd get him real good, cool. If God was faithful in the year that you got saved, keep your hand beat, God's still faithful today. And if you've ever known him then, you know him now. He is no less. He should be more to you as you has grown in his grace. The Bible said he giveth more grace to the humble. So there is such a thing as more grace. And if he was faithful enough to save you, he's faithful enough to keep you. He's faithful enough to sustain you. He's faithful enough to take care of us, even in today's time, in today's economy, and he will be in the future. You say, well, we shouldn't take thought for tomorrow or don't put any stock in the future. I plan on being here tomorrow. If God don't come back to get me, so I'm going to go ahead and prepare while I'm going that way. You said, well, if it's the Lord's will, the Bible says that. We should say, the Lord will, we'll do this or that, and we should. But Brother Larry, God will be there. Was he faithful to them? The psalmist Asaph is looking back saying, God has forgiven him. He's covered their sin. He's done these things. And if he's done it for them, I promise you this, my friends, he'll do it for you now. Not just in his faithfulness, but look at verse number 2. He'll do it in his forgiveness as well. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Israel had a spotted past of idolatry and sin and wickedness. When Moses, even Moses going to get the Ten Commandments, what happened when he comes back down? If one man ever broke all the Ten Commandments at once, one time, Moses did it. Why? Because he comes back. And what's he see, Brother John? He sees Aaron down there. And they're all down there worshiping. They're dancing. What are they doing? They made a molten calf out of gold. They took their nose rings and their earrings and their jewelry and melted that stuff down. And they have fashioned and formed themselves a golden calf at Horeb. And what were they doing? They were worshiping that calf. Moses threw the tablets of God down. He was disgusted. And what they do? They ground that thing down into powder, put it in the water, and caused them to drink it. My friends, God is not mocked, but God will forgive their sin because he did their sin. Moses was a murderer. You read that in your book? Did he not go and hide himself on the backside of the desert? Yes, he did. If Saul was a murderer, holding the cloaks of gold, those that would stone Stephen, then God will forgive you. He sometimes takes the worst of the worst and calls them to preach. He'll take the worst of the worst and put a ministry in their life. He'll cause the worst of the worst and put a song on their lips and a testimony in their mouth. And he'll do that if he was faithful to them. And he was, he's faithful to us. If he was forgiving unto them, and he was, he will be to us. So we keep going. Look at verse number 3, and the word in here that I want you to see, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but in that third verse, there's a word. Brother Chris, if he was faithful unto them, and he was, if he was forgiving unto them, he was, what's in that third verse? There's a word. The fierceness of God. What does that speak of, my friends? The fierceness of God. The anger of God. The wrath of God. Brother John, we have got a God that is wrathful. He is a vengeful God. We try to take care of things ourselves, but he said, whoa, you just hold up, big boy. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He said, I'll take care of that. I will repay. So when we see the fierceness of God here, as it in verse number 3, thou hast taken away thy wrath, all thy wrath, and hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Let me tell you, all the wrath that God ever had, every bit of that wrath that God ever had, Brother Troy, he still got the same ability to do it again. He still got the same ability to get mad at us against sin. And if he got mad at their sin, is he going to give us a clean slate and say, well, y'all can go ahead and do it, and I'll just let you have a free pass on this? God's not going to wink at sin. If he destroyed cities because of sin, he's still against that same sin that he destroyed the cities for. He doesn't change his mind because we're a New Age church. We're a New Testament church, so we can get away with that. No, we can't. We can't get away with it just because we're in the New Testament church age. Dispensationalism. We are in a different dispensation, Brother Chris. We're under grace, thank God. But he said, do you continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we don't continue in sin. The fierceness of God's wrath. Verse number 3, it said, thou hast taken away all thy wrath and hast turned to thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. I wonder if the local churches make God mad. I wonder if we upset God from time to time. I wonder if I, as a pastor, Brother John, would cause God to wink and look and just grimace and maybe wince just a little bit about, why did y'all go that way? Why did y'all do that? Brother John, I pause to think about that sometimes, some of the things that we do. I know some of the things that we've had around here as of late, whether to have this or whether to have that, whether to do this or whether to do that. I wonder sometimes if we don't just break God's heart and cause him to be almost upset or have wrath or anger toward us. But you know what? If he was forgiven to them, and he was, if he was faithful to them, and he was, he can be fierce against us, but he pardoned. Look what it said. That was still talking about the past. I told you it would be a call to remembrance. That was still under the remembrance part, because it said, thou hast, meaning past tense, taken away thy wrath and hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. If God had wrath in his past, he hasn't changed toward the sin that caused him to be mad to start with. I told you we're going to slow down teach just a little bit. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. I don't know the difference in teaching and preaching. But from verses number 1 through 3, we now go to a different, and this will be the call to revival. This will be the middle part. This will be where they took the message from tonight, or the title of the message from tonight, will be that call to revival. And the first part in 4, I'll just read verse number 4. It says, turn us. In your biblical vernacular, what would the word turn us mean? What would that mean, Brother John? Turn us. What would that be? I mean, it's calls us to turn us, or calls us to repent. Brother Chris is all over it. So this would be a call to repentance. People don't like to hear that in the Latter-day Church. Miss Laura, nobody wants to hear about repentance. Brother Terry, why wouldn't we want to hear about repentance? Brother Tommy, why don't preachers preach about repentance? What is repentance? It's a turning from. It's a brokenness of man, Brother John, that turns him from that which has upset God or broken God's heart and turns him away from that sin and back to the loving God that would pardon that sin and forgive that. It's a turning. And he says, the psalmist says, turn us. So this is a call tonight to repentance, because the Bible said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Did I make that up, or is that in your King James Bible? That's in the King James Bible. A lot of people saying that you're putting works with salvation whenever you say that they must do something. The Bible said, except you repent, you're not going. That's the book. I don't care who you are. The psalmist said to turn from that. The psalmist says, turn us, O God. And look what he says. He said, turn us, O Lord, O God of our salvation. It calls thine anger toward us to see. Listen, I don't want God mad at me. I don't want him mad at our church. I want him to show us kindness and loving favor. I want us to give, to have the tender mercies of God on us. Brother Grant, I don't want just mercies. I want even the tender mercies of God upon us. So this is a true call to revival. It's a call, Brother Chris, to repentance. It's a call for us to do what God says to do so that we can truly have revival. I told him in the prayer room a little while ago that I want us to have revival. Brother Dean, is it possible that you would get it and Steve wouldn't, or Steve would get it and you wouldn't? You better believe that. Because every single one of us had the ability to say, I don't want you, God. I'm not going to do what you say. Did he not tell us in the Bible, Brother Kim, that he said, remember the old paths and walk therein and find the old ways, which is the good way. And what did they say? We will not. We will not. So if you're going to say what we will not, then guess what? You won't. Is the Bible clear? And does it not say these words? I'll quote it verbatim, quote if you like. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 in verse number 14, it starts out with a question. If. Is that right? Look it up. 7:14 of 2 Chronicles said, if my people, which are called by my name. Yes, it means us. You say, wait a minute, that was written to the Jews. That's written to the Jewish people. Then take out the verse where it says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. That means all of it, Brother John. And who are you then? He said, if that's written to the Jews, and he said, if my people, which are the Jewish people, would do these things. Brother John, what are you, when you got saved by God's grace, what did you take on the yoke of? The Bible said they were first called this at Antioch. You're a Christian. What's the first word in Christian? It's Christ, which means what? Christ-likeness, which means that you have more Christ-likeness because you're saved by God's grace, then you are His. Amen. You are not your own, according to the book of Corinthians. You are bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. You were bought with a price. That price was His blood. You're His. Amen. So if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, and what else? And pray. And turn. What's that part again? Turn from their wicked ways. What else? Would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I forgive their sin. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. But that whole thing was predicated upon one little word that you used whenever you were teaching through the book of John about, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What's that same little word? If. So it's possible then that Miss Sam can get revival and you can go home hard-hearted, stone-faced, sitting there thinking, I didn't get nothing tonight. That's quite possible. Why? Because she was willing and you weren't. Or you were willing and she wasn't willing to do what God said to do, to turn. This call to repentance, Brother John, should be every one of us. Sometime between now and Sunday, I would to God every one of you would find you a personal prayer closet somewhere. Just steal away. I'm not talking about go home and cause you to have a war room. If you've already got a war room, so be it. That'd be great. Y'all seen that movie? That's a great movie. It's a great movie. I'm not telling you go home and create a war room, but you should have a place where you can get along with God and say, Lord, it's me again. I just want to talk to you, Lord. pastor preach the message to us Wednesday night or tonight, whenever you do your prayer, and say, Lord, it's me again. He called us and reminded us about your faithfulness and about your fierceness and about your forgiveness. He called us to revival by way of repentance. Lord, and I just want to check up. I want to do a little self-introspection. I want to look inside of me, Lord, and see if there's anything in me, any hidden part. Try me, the secret part, the hidden part, the dark part, the part that Cindy doesn't know about, the part that John doesn't know, the part my deacons don't know about. Lord, I want you to know about this part. I want you to look inside of there, Lord. And I want you to forgive me of that because I've harbored that in there way too long. So whenever you look at that in verses number 4 through 9, that's the true call to revival where he says, turn us, O God, of our salvation. And then look at the police. It's caused thine anger toward us to cease. What's in layman's terms? What's he saying, Brother Larry? He's saying, Lord, don't be mad at us. Lord, don't be mad at us forever. That's what he says. Look what he says. He said, will thou be angry with us forever? Will that draw out thine anger to all generations? Listen to me. You don't have to have God mad at you. You can have a loving God giving you love and favor. It's possible. In 28, this is not prosperity preaching. Brother John, you get real close to God, he's going to love on you a little bit. Is that not something that you got one disciple and only one, Brother Ronnie, out of all the disciples? Mark didn't say it. Matthew didn't say it. Luke didn't write it in either Acts or the gospel according to Luke that there was a disciple whom Jesus loved. You know who wrote that? John. You know who he wrote it about? Himself. You say, what a selfish prophet he was. What a selfish disciple he was. Who's he think he is? Brother John, he was so close, he felt the nostrils of God breathing down on him. You can get that close. You can get that close. John always referred to himself as the one that Jesus loved. I thought that was pretty cool when I read that, kept reading it. And I said, well, how come nobody else saw that? That's how John felt. Gary, you ever feel that way? I just feel like one of his little pets. Keep reading on down through there. And in verse number 6, it says, will thou not revive us again? This is the call to revival. Will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? He says, show us thy mercy, O Lord. Wouldn't you just love for the Lord to show up and show us his mercy? He showed up here just a little bit Sunday and showed us his glory. And because everybody started minding the Lord, and Brother Woody would have been so proud. Brother Woody would have been so honored to know that somebody got saved by God's grace. You say, why are you bringing Brother Woody up? Because if Brother Woody had been here, you know what his claim would have been to everybody in here? Y'all say that together. That's what would have made Brother Woody happy. That somebody would just mind the Lord and pray and seek God's face. And the choir would sing just a little bit sweeter. The fellowship be a little bit tighter. And because of that, you know what, Brother Larry? We started to a period of revival. We keep going, looking on down through here. But here the psalmist is saying, Lord, calls us to repent. Verse number 6 said, are you going to revive us, Lord? Would you just show us your mercy? Go in number 8 through 9, look what it says. He said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But look what he says. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh that fear them, that glory may dwell in our land. What's he saying? He said, Lord, I just want to reclaim what they had. Brother John, can we reclaim what they had? I believe we can. Brother Grant, do you believe that story of the man, the woman that had a little meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, had one son, he's picking up some sticks. And then here comes the man of God, Elijah, said, hey, what are you doing? So I'm picking up some sticks. Do you believe that the same God that every time she took out that last handful of meal and poured out that last little bit of oil, that there was more the next time she went? Do you believe that that same God that would throw in a handful or two handfuls every time she took one out is able to do the same thing for you today? If you don't believe that, you're serving the wrong God. If you don't believe that, then you've got a limited God. What did you do? Pick that verse back up, Brother Chris. Go to 78th Division of Psalm and show me that verse because I want to read it to them. If you don't believe that, Brother Gary, that the same God that did that for her could do that for you and cause you to be able to come out of your sick condition and even do what you're doing tonight, which is show up at his house and praise his holy name, then you're limiting God. Which verse was it, Brother Chris? Number 41 says, yea, they have turned back and tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. So is it possible that we would limit God? According to the Word of God, it's possible that we could limit God. The Bible said that your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God, that He will not hear you. The Bible says in 5:25 of the book of Jeremiah that your sins have withholden good things from you. So that's possible. I don't want to limit God. I want everything He's, I want Him to give me what's the blessings that I'm hopeful for and desirous of. But you know, Miss Margaret, we want those blessings, but we want Him to hold back His wrath. We want Him to hold back that. Lord, we don't deserve that. Tell me we don't deserve it. I deserve hell with a broke back and every infirmity I've ever had in my life, all rolled up into one. Kidney stone on top of kidney stone on top of kidney stone. I deserved all that, manifested times a million, and put on me and put into a dark place called hell. That's what I deserved. But He showed me mercy. So this call to revival tonight, I'm trying my best to hurry. Going down verse number 10 through 13. This right here should be shouting ground. It should be. 10 through 13 says, mercy and truth are met together. Do you see the joining here? Mercy and truth coming together. The Bible said they kissed each other. Mercy and truth. Do you remember the night you got, was it a night or brother? I always think of night. I don't know why everybody gets saved at night, but I did. And I think everybody gets saved at night. Do you get saved at night or during the day? You got saved during the morning. Can you imagine the morning that you got saved, that mercy and truth kissed each other, and the next thing you know, it spilled over on you just a little bit, and you cried out from the pits of a demon's hell and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and you got saved by God's amazing grace, and you've never been the same sin. But do you right now, do you realize that this, Brother Chris, is a call to righteousness? What are you talking about? Sanctification? Being set apart? How are you sanctified? How are you sanctified? How am I sanctified? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're sanctified by the blood. We're justified by faith, but sanctified by the blood, which is in Jesus Christ. And we'll close this thing down here in just a few minutes. Mercy and truth. Look at the joining together of these two. Have met together in righteousness. There's what I'm saying. A call to righteousness. A call to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. A call, Brother Larry, to not be in your righteousness, but to be in His. Brother Chris took a old nasty clean, nasty handkerchief the other day when he was preaching up here. And he talked about laying it on the festering sores and wounds of that of a leper, and how that's those leprosy spots would be oozing, and that they would have all kinds of infection. And you preached that, and you took that old nasty cloth, and you said, that right there is what we are. You're exactly right. But boy, His righteousness is not like that, is it? I'm calling us into His righteousness. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. How can righteousness, if that is a character trait that a man would take on, righteousness exalteth the nation, or John is a righteous man, how can that look down from heaven? Because He is righteous. Because He is righteous. Because He is holy. He's the only truth. He said, I am the way and the truth. What is truth? Truth is right. Is that right? Truth is right. Truth is right. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. So if righteousness can look down from heaven, then that would have to be Him looking down on us. So this joining together of righteousness, this giving in this righteousness, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. I don't believe, Brother Chris, that just means our land. I believe that means your life. I believe that means my life. I believe that means this church. You ever seen some churches? All they're known for is bickering and fighting and fussing and feuding and quarreling. I don't never hear of any good coming out of them. I'm not saying that there's not good in them, because if they're saved by God's grace, they're the same church that got Christ died for as we are. But I'm telling you what, they've got off the beaten path somewhere, and where that mercy and righteousness and mercy and truth would come together and kiss each other, they've got some disharmony there. They've got some disunity there somewhere, and it's a broken fellowship. Something's causing them to be hurt. And I'm just trying to keep that from happening here. In this it says that truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps. The glory of His righteousness can be revealed. You say, well, how's it going to be revealed? It's going to be revealed in you. It's going to be revealed in me. It's going to be revealed in the works of this church. not through just one of us individually, but through us collectively and wholly. Now, that's not to say that you can't be the brightest bulb in the box, because you can shine brighter than the one sitting beside you. I believe that. Y'all ever get your Christmas tree ornaments out and one of them just looks a little funny? Guess what? That's getting ready to go out on you. You ever notice that? And then when one goes out, you know what you got to do? What did Clark tell Russ when he brought out that ball of lights, Brother Kippy, about that big? What did Clark, Chris, y'all know this. What did he tell Russ? Got to check every bulb, Russ. That's what you got to do. You got to check every bulb. I believe that's what God's doing, is checking every bulb. You're the light of the world. Guess what? He's checking up on you. You ever see one burns a little brighter or shines a little brighter than the other ones? You know what happened to that one sometimes, Brother Larry? It goes out. You know why? Because it was shining for the wrong reasons. It's trying to stand out in the crowd. Look at me. Motive. This call to revival, Brother Troy, I want you to look inside of Troy. I don't want you to look inside of Carrie. It's easy if you look in Carrie and see all her flaws. Carrie probably look in you and see yours. I want you to look at yours. Ain't that something about a mote and a beam? What's that talk about? They get that beam out of your own eye before you try to get that one out of Tim's over there. Tim got a speck. I got a 2x4 stuck in mine over here. Boy, it's easy for me to see y'all's flaws. Sometimes it's hard for me to see my own. I've got them. I'm promising you that tonight. Mr. Macy, honey, if you would come back. Brother Scott, if you get us a song tonight.